page Dalet. Let's just review from Hakol Chafetz Mira Shemecha. So the Rebbe brings the Maimer from Slichas Hakol Chafetz Mira Shemecha. Really, every Jew, every Jew wants to serve Hashem and to fear Hashem. We want to do the right thing. Our problem is that in our minds we know intellectually that we want to serve Hashem. We know that intellectually. To say Hakol Chafetzim Lira Shemecha, that we all emotionally are driven and want desperately to be Avdei Hashem, it's a hard thing to say. We don't all feel that. We rarely feel that. But we all know that we want to feel that. Because we all understand that that's how we should feel. We should feel that way about Yiddishkeit. We should feel that way about the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That we should be Chafetzim Lira Shemecha. We should feel that way. The problem is that it's Rak B'daitim Hi. That's we know it intellectually that we should feel that way. In our minds, we know that we should love and fear God. But unfortunately, we don't feel. Many people do not feel in their hearts. Be'emes, any kind of hisrakshus, have any feeling of love or fear. And there are many, many people to whom it's so clear and so obvious that they should want very badly to live a life of pureness and Torah and Tefillah and Mitzvahs and so on. But they only want to want this feeling. They don't actually want the Torah mitzvahs. They don't want the Ahava, the year. It's not something which is emotionally there. It's just they want to want that. And they want it very badly. But they don't really feel that they want that. They just know that they're supposed to feel that way, but they don't really actually feel any rotzen or tshuka. So perhaps the Rebbe says, perhaps you think maybe I'm talking about those who have hearts that are metumtum lagamrei. There are hearts that are totally, totally numb. There are people who just can't feel anything spiritual. So perhaps you would think that I'm talking about such people. So he says no. There are people who are not misraksha, but don't have any misrakshas at all. And there are those whose souls are buried underneath a large pile of garbage. And the soul is not even able to stick one little finger out of that pile. There are people like that. They're so buried under things that they can't feel anything. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who have. Well, there are times when they do want, and they do have a feeling. Or even many times they are misrakshim, they're excited. Rak hisrakshusam uritzaynim lo biyadim hay. But that hisrakshus and the rotzen is lo biyadim hay. It's not in their own hand. It's not up to them. They just sometimes have these moods. Something comes over them. You know, they hear a certain kind of a niggun or a story or whatever it might be. Or it's a certain time of the year. It's a certain memory is triggered, but it's not biyodam. It's not something it's not that the person can be misragish when he wants to be misragish. Either it happens or it doesn't happen. Rak yisrag shusam ritzanam lay biyodam heim. It's not in their own. It's not up to them. The shoshem yatzam misayrim azroitzim umisraction. When it happens that there's a hisairus, whatever brought that hisairus, then they have a rotzen for Hashem's Baruch for Yiddishkeit, and there's a hisrakshus. Ubishosh ain hisairusim bamimela, and when it's just a bad mazel, and this hisairus is not happening, heim nochem. They're just still, they're out of it. Shochrim af neuflim. They could even go through nefilas. This is the most common thing that our generation is experiencing. There are many, many people. But again, we're not talking. The Rebbe says he's not talking to those people who have bechlal, no shaykhs, no sraqshas. I'm talking about people that have, from time to time, a very strong rut. A very strong rut. And during that time, there's a strong rutzen. It wasn't anything that they planned or prepared for. There were certain things that whatever was happening in the higher world or in this world awakened a certain hisrakshus, and then you'll see that person will come to shiur and will come to shul and will be involved and then it passes and then you know you don't see it's gone, finished. It's not biyodim. What's different, of course, what's very different about now and then was that then it wasn't like Jews, our parents and grandparents didn't necessarily have big hisrakshias either, like in Yiddishkeit all the time. But even when they didn't have a big hisrakshias, they still did what they were supposed to do. They went to shul and they didn't, you know, it wasn't this whole thing that I always talk about, the nefila yirida mode, you know, I'm having nefila now, I don't have an minyan, I'm going through yirida now, I'm always anchored my wife, I'm sorry, it's yirida time. So that's a chiddush of our generation. Baruch Hashem, we were machadu something. Inichlu lanu avasenu makom hisgadah by that our zaydis and barbies left us room to make chiddushim in our Yiddishkeit. That when we don't feel a certain way, so that we can't function bechlal, we just don't function. Whereas our parents and grandparents functioned despite oftentimes not feeling, but they continued and they plowed through and they kept on going despite a lack of feeling. That's not something that's new, that a person doesn't feel. But what happens, the Rebbe says, is that when the Hesiris doesn't come, when there is no Hesiris, heim nochem shaychvim af neiflim. So then they could be inanimate, like out of it, or even neiflim, or falling. They could fall into bad things, neiflim. Asher matzav anoshim ke'elu, page hey, Yesh any yaisit of harbe v'leipachas mesukan me'ashamatzav anoshim rishonim etum tonu megarmi. Many times the Rebbe says you could have people in the second type, where they have times of hisaris that are totally out of their control. There'll be times of hisaris, and then when they're not going through hisaris, there could be times of inactivity or even which would lead even to nefilas. That could be, the Rebbe says, worse. It could be as dangerous or even more dangerous than the first category of the guy who's lying under a pile of garbage and doesn't feel anything at all. He doesn't have any instructions at all. One of the punishments lo'aleinu that's described in Chazal and in the Kadmonim is called Kaf HaKela. It's not anything that we need to talk about, but it means that the neshama is not able to be in a place of menucha. That after a person dies, there is such a thing where the soul of a Jew, God forbid, is thrown from one world to the next in kaf hakela, like in a slingshot. Kaf hakela being flung from one universe to another universe, from one level to another level, and finds no menucha. So there are people that live in this world in a kaf hakela. They live in this world in a kaf hakela. Rumin kafa kela shabaylam hazeh. There was a person that I didn't see in around 8 or 9 years. Didn't come to a shir. Last I saw him, I called him once. You know, I'm not whatever. I'll see you. 8 or 9 years, I didn't see him, and then he came to a shir and he said, "I must talk to you tonight." I said, "Wow, this." He'd been holding off for like 9 years, this conversation. You know, I said, I have two chassidus tonight. I can't, you know, stick around. And that was it. And he disappeared. He was angry and he disappeared. there's a kafa kela. And I felt bad. I said, I know he must have felt something that night. He came to Shia, hasn't come in 9 years, you know, and it, 8, 9 years, I didn't see the guy, he's not called, garnish. And then he comes to me with such a thing, like a tkifas after the Shia. I have to talk tonight. So I said, can I talk to you on the phone? No. You know, and that's it. And I don't know, Vainainu, he's gone. So I feel bad, and I said to my wife, I, it's my fault. But there are Jews that are in the Kafa Kela in this world. In the Kafa Kela. Like rubbish. From one thing to another thing, from one level to another level. You have a bocher, one day, like he's going to the mikveh 3 times a day, and he's wearing a gartel on his head, on his chest, on his pulpit, and he's growing his payas and stuff, and then and then 2 weeks later, he's something with mixed up with this drug and with that girl, and vaita, you see him 2 months later, nachamol, it's a kafa kela. In our generation, it's very, very extreme. But this way of living, when Olam Hazeh, your hisrakshias, your feelings of a desire to be a Jew are not up to you. Your excitement in your Yiddishkeit is up to some other force that's beyond you. That's what we see. There's something else that's going on. And like when it's good, so then it's good. When it's going good, so then you're like, you jump on board and you go along with that and you start dashing to other people, right? About how they have to do this and have to do that, and you start to. and then as quickly as it comes, it just disappears. And again, it's not like it was by our parents and grandparents. Many times, of course, there are many people who are still like that. But then that's it. It's a phone. If the person puts on tefillin, it's a chiddush. So this is dangerous. The Rebbe says. That one moment the guy Be'emes has a hishtaikikus, he has this longing, the guy misrageish hisrakshus hakadosha, and he has a big hisrakshus of holiness. The next minute, it usually takes a day or two, not a minute, but it could be that a very short time later he's mamish hashofel, he's in the lowest thing, in the lowest place. Shikar neifel hamizgoylo ba'ashba, like a drunk that's rolling in the filth. Could be a minute later, like a drunk that's rolling in the filth. Ein rotzen v'loy tshuka l'shum dvar kodesh. The guy has no rotzen, has no interest in anything of holiness. V'yesh sh'od l'hepech. Not only that he lost his rotzen, he lost his cheshik. It's not just that. V'yeshad lahepech. So the next day is the opposite. Shad lahepech. It's the opposite of what he was the day before. He's getting all excited by something on the television or some filth, God forbid. Whereas the day before he was closing his eyes and shuckling with a niggin and he was going to finish the bavli and Yerushalmi that year, everything. And it's not pshat that he lost the feeling, but the next day he has all kinds of ritzonius shvelus, all kinds of low and disgusting hisrakshis. He's not that he's excited about something disgusting. And even if we're talking about a person that recognizes that this is bad to be in a kafa kela, it's right to live in a slingshot, to live in the kafa kela in this world, it's a bad thing. This person, at least he has a presence of mind to acknowledge that this is very bad. These highs and these lows, and it's not up to me. I'm just being schlepped along by some sort of a force that's beyond me. And there's some Jews like this that they worry about the danger that they're in. that they're what? That they're buried, immersed in a swamp of filth that stinks, and machnak nefesh, and they suffocate. And they realize that they're drowning. They could drown, God forbid, and be lost. The right said, and he wants to have his iris to get out of the filth. He doesn't want Hashem's Baruch. He wants that way again. And he's waiting for it to happen. What's going to be? When am I going to want? You know, when am I going to want that again? When am I going to want the davening? When am I going to want the mikveh? When am I going to want the avodah and the learning? When am I going to want that? We're not talking about a person that just has lost his mind. He's thinking about this, and he worries about this, and it bothers him. And he looks at his matzah, and he's like, Gevald, what's the matter with me? Av choshev bekirboy. And he thinks in himself, "Ma mu'usha ha'isi, ili yacholti lahatzilatis kol atzmim habitza b'shviv shel rotznut shuka." He says, "How happy I would be! It would be the most wonderful thing if I somehow could save myself and drag myself out with a spark of rotznut shuka, with a little spark of that old fire. So I'd be able to at least drag myself out of the filth. A person sitting there, you know, a person could sit there." Someone that was crying to me about when he's davening and he's learning the times that he feels such a closeness to Hashem, and he goes on business trips and he's in a hotel at night and he sits there with a remote control with such filth that he has to get up and put on towels and tefillin, and then that night nachama with this and back and forth, mam shakafa kela. And he says that and he says while I'm sitting there, you know, by myself in some town, someplace in the middle of, you know, in the middle of America somewhere, I'm sitting with the remote control. I'm thinking, I wish I could pull myself out of this. I can't get out of this. A chukka of holiness. Give me something over here. I can't get out. So he's worried about it. It upsets him. And he thinks in his head. But this is something which he's thinking about. This is crazy. How am I living this way? I don't want to live this way. But that's not a rotzen. That's not called a rotzen. It's not called a rotzen. It's like a person, an overweight person, who has a heart condition, God forbid. And the doctor told him a million times about this, not to eat that, not to... And he's sitting there like, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, knocking off like his third layer cake of the night. You know, with a couple of empty bags of barbecue potato chips and onion garlic on the side. And he's thinking the whole time, man, I can't go on living this way.
And a Diet Coke.
That's right, a Diet Coke. I can't go on living this way. This is just, I can't go on like this. That's not called a rotzen. He knows that this is crazy. He's killing himself. He knows he's killing himself. He feels like disgusting. But it's not a rotzen. It's not called a hisrakshus and a tshuka. That's not called a longing. It's that he knows that this is a bad thing. He knows that he is destroying his life. But as the Rebbe says, "Mekomakom b'machshava rotzen levadam ein yochel," with a thought of wanting out, ein yochel. That's not going to do it. That's not going to get him out. Ein yochel. Ki rak ha'ish she'ovad kar harbe b'kedusha. Now, there is such a thing as a Jew, listen carefully, who at the moment does not have a hisrakshus of holiness, an excitement of holiness, but since he's ovad kar harbe b'kedusha, since for many years, he's already Oyved Hashem. He's serving Hashem with great holiness. The Kedusha. Yochel gam bedaito levad lufal al atzmai. He can even, by using his mind by itself, just his das. Av b'shoshe enim esragish kul b'rikshas ha'kodesh. Even at a time where he doesn't feel his esragishes, he doesn't have an excitement. He doesn't feel emotionally that drive. Mikol Shuken Kasha Yamik Bedaito. But since he's what? His body has been so subjugated to holiness and has been so trained in the ways of holiness, which again is another thing that our generation is not familiar with. But since he was so trained and he was so his whole life he was so accustomed to holiness that even when he's not feeling it, just with that thought itself, and especially if he goes into that thought deeply, even though it's only intellectual at that time, he doesn't feel anything. Since the entire day, all of this person's thoughts and mitzvahs are in holiness, so therefore, even at a time where he's sort of blanking out as far as his rotzen is concerned, he doesn't have a tshuka for holiness, but in the absence of that emotion, he has his mind can act as a very strong backup and can hold him back from anything that's bad. And he could not only that, it could even bring him back to his rakshas. But he says, Lo kein anu bador hazeh, but in our generation, this is not going. It's not working in our generation. She gufeinu b'avayda l'nishka. Our bodies have not become immersed in service of Hashem. We have not been raised in such holiness, and we don't have this automatic. Our bodies don't have this automatic means of taking over in the absence of feeling. That's what we're talking about. This doesn't go on automatic. Our minds were not raised and were not strengthened in holiness over the years to think only holy thoughts. So that even when a person doesn't have his rakshas and avodas Hashem, but the mind itself is so pure and the mind is so holy that just with the intellect alone, the person is able to be shaylet mamish, to rule over his entire being. Which is what much of Chabad, Chassidus, is about. But the Rebbe says that for us, it's very, very hard. It's very hard to get hold of ourselves and to control ourselves with the thought of wanting, as opposed to actually wanting. It's very hard. If our bodies are not caught up in the excitement of service of Hashem, if we don't feel His rakshas in our generation, the Rebbe says, how much more so now? It's very, very difficult for us with the machshava, with the rotzen, to be good, with the machshava and the rotzen to serve Hashem properly, just intellectually with a thought. It's very hard. When all we do is want to have his rakshas, we have to be misraksh, which is what the whole kuntras is about. This whole sefer is how we can learn how to be misraksh. We can learn that. There are actual exercises and things that we are going to be taught of how to bring ourselves into the parasha of his structures, not just when it happens, like living in the kafah kela, being in the slingshot, but how a person can, at will, be a misragish in avodas Hashem, not waiting for something to come over him, not that he has to wait for a ne'ila, that he has to wait for a certain kind of a mood or a niggin, but to make himself into a misragish in avodas Hashem. Chazal have said, Tzaddikim liban b'reshusam, that Tzaddikim are in control of their hearts. Their hearts belong to them. V'lehepech ha'sasholam heim b'reshus liban. By the Rishoyim, their hearts control them. The Tzaddikim are the balabatim over their hearts. In other words, when we say l'shoinis, which are so common to us, like, so why didn't you, I just didn't feel like it. Chazal described that a Rosh Lo Aleinu, his life is controlled by his heart. But a tzaddik rules over his heart. Liban birshusan. He doesn't take his cues from his heart. He tells his heart what to feel. That's how a tzaddik lives. A Rosh I feel like this, I feel like that. And then once you feel, you know, my heart tells me, my heart tells me. My heart tells me this, my heart tells me that. So on Monday, my heart tells me to go to the Shia. On Tuesday, my heart tells me to, you know, to watch the movie. So the Chazal say, this is the life of a person who's in the Kafakela, that you have a person that lives Bishus Libam. And what's the explanation? How come? Why aren't you learning? Why aren't you davening? Why are you doing those things? Okay, I do this, what I feel. Well, can't argue with that, especially nowadays. You can't argue with feelings, you know, it's very dangerous. You say, but you can't argue with feelings. And this Chazal, the Rebbe says, this pretty much sums it all up. A person who's completely in the possession of his heart, not that he possesses his heart, but his heart possesses him. He's under the control of his heart. And it's not, he can't make a decision to be misgaber, gam al tavaisav legamrei, to rule over his taivis, his desires. Chas v'shalom. Chazal say, Rasha. That person's a Rasha. Chazal say he's a Rasha. If a person who's the gamrei says that's b'shus libay, how does he feel? He feels like going to shul, he goes. He doesn't feel like he doesn't. He feels like watching the, he watches the show. He feels like singing the, he sings the. He's a gamrei b'shus libay. And therefore, when he has a taiva in his heart, when he has a taiva for something that's forbidden, the same way that when he has a taiva for davening, he davenes, when he has a taiva for something wrong, he does that too. The people who live, God forbid, that way, that's the kafakela. Whatever the heart tells him. Libi oimeli. But not like when the Chassam Sofer says, Libi oimeli, you know. Chassam Sofer says that too. My heart tells me. Chassam Sofer's heart always tells him good stuff. Our hearts don't always say good things. So this person lives in that place. His heart's always telling him what to do. So he's not a balabas over any of his taivas. So that person, Chazal, classifies a Rasha. A person who lives Bishus Libai, like Haman, he's the classic example Chazal bring. The Asevs and the Hummins of this world, the Rishoim live Bishus Liba. Their hearts tell them. And they live according to what their hearts tell them. So they have a taiva, is a taiva, whatever the taiva is. Sometimes the taiva is good. Sometimes the taiva is not good. Aval gam oisim yikrei ruach bachurei chemed v'avreichim chasidim chasidish ingolait shebin yoni ha-taiva eini Bishus Libam chas ha-shalom. The Rebbe says, I'm writing this sefer. I'm not writing a sefer for those. Maybe they could be helped too. That are b'shus libam. I'm talking. He says to bachurei chemet, to very sweet and special bachurim and chassidish yungalait. I don't know if the Rebbe ever dreamt that anybody who wasn't chassidish would look at his svarim. I don't even know. You know, that's who he lived with. That's who. I don't know how many literature people he met in his whole life. You know, that was his world. So he says, I'm talking to precious Bachram and to Chassidus Yungalait, Shabinyani HaTaiva, Eine Bishus Libam Chas Shalom. That when it comes to desires, when it comes to taivas, they're not under the control of the heart. These are people who are fighting. These are people who are misgabra on taivas. They don't give in to, everybody has taivas, but I'm talking to people who don't give in to these taivas. Eine Bishus Libam Chas Shalom. Loi Chamim Heimim Yitzram. These are warriors, they fight with the Yetzirah. That's who I'm talking to. And they are victorious in their wars. This is my audience. People who are misgabrim al yitzram. Jews who are victorious over their hearts, over their desires. And they don't, even though they have taivas, but they don't give in to the taivas to actually act upon them, chas v'sholem. And I'm talking to young men who want to be chassidim and who want to be able to have a hisrakshus who want to be able to have this excitement of Yiddishkeit me'atzman. I'm sorry, that sometimes they have this Yisrakshus me'atzman. People who sometimes or even often have an excitement in their Avodas Hashem. Gamheim, even these people, even these Bachim and these Yungalite who I'm talking to, if they're not going to learn how to have complete control over their emotions, in other words, not just to fight and to overcome a taiva, but to be able to fill themselves with the hisrakshus navetz Hashem upon will, upon request. When they want to, when a person comes to Shabbos, he knows he's supposed to have his Yisrakshus, and to be able to be Yisrakshus. when it comes to a Shachris, a Mincha Marav, when it comes to benching, when it comes to Brocha. I don't know, I'm just not feeling anything by davening. I don't know, I'm not feeling anything by my brachas. I don't know, I'm not feeling anything. He says, because that a person knows that he's making a bracha, and that the Shas Meister is making the bracha, that he's able to bring about the Hisrakshus for the bracha. And he's able to bring about the Hisrakshus for that Shachris, that Mincha, for that Marav. She says, even these special bachrim and these yungalite, these young men who are not giving into their taivas, but they're waiting occasionally for that feeling of ahav Hashem, for that feeling of love for Hashem. He says that's not enough. He says that they must take again complete and total possession of their hearts, not just to overcome their taivas, but to take possession of their hearts to such a degree that they can tell their hearts when to have instructions and when not to have instructions and when they shouldn't have instructions. Right? When there's something walking by in the street and you're not supposed to get excited, when not to have instructions. Not that it's a constant milchama, that a person lives in that kafakel in the slingshot. Excitement over something good and excitement over something very chas v'shalom. When to have his structures and when not to have his structures. Gam Eilu lo yagiyu al shum aliyah. The Rebbe says that unless we learn how to be the balabatim over his structures, not what we're thinking but what we're feeling, lo yagiyu al shum aliyah. They can't come to any aliyah, real aliyah in Avodas Hashem, something that becomes part of their lives, as opposed to just a passing thing, something that's really who they are. They can't come to any aliyah, aflo, not even to the heels of chassidus, aflo ikve chassidus. Even to, they haven't come, they're not able to come even to the bottommost part of Avodas Hashem al piderach chassidus. And they could end up, God forbid, in the kafakela. It might not be while they're in yeshiva. You know, when you're in yeshiva, you're part of that world, and there's a lot going on in Avodas Hashem around you. But how many times do you see that a person, when he leaves yeshiva, he's no longer in yeshiva, that he's in the kafakela, because he doesn't feel it anymore. When you're in yeshiva and you're surrounded by guys that are into learning, and you hear this, the excitement over learning, and the Rebbe's there, and the yeshiva's there, that's not the same thing as being by yourself, you know, in some motel room in Echves, you know, in Cincinnati, whatever. When you're in yeshiva, there's the influence that comes as a result of being surrounded by Torah and by Rebbeim and Tzaddikim, and a person is excited by that and so on. But then you have that same person who the whole Zman is like that. I'm not even talking about when he leaves yeshiva and goes out to work. I'm talking about when he... Ben Hazmanim. Ben Hazmanim is in the Kafa Kela. Ben Hazmanim, of course, are slowly growing larger than the Zman in our times. you know, these Ben Azman, like in already Purim time, and Yeshiva is already before Purim in Eretz Yisrael. Many of the Yeshivas are beginning. The Achanis, right? The Achanis. Like I was telling my daughter the other, that they gave them off so many days for Hanukkah. Especially there's one school in the neighborhood that I don't think that altogether have 100 days of school. I personally don't get it, and you know, I'm starting to resent sending the checks in, you know, which I normally don't, but it's becoming so crazy. So she said to me, she's off the day after Hanukkah. So I thought she was serious because this stuff happens in that school. So I said, "You're kidding." She said, "Yeah, Dad, I'm just kidding." I seriously thought that they were going to, you know, like the other stuff that they tell you. I thought they were going to say that you have to help your mothers put the menorah away. You ever hear these things that's going on now with Sukkot and with Pesach? You're going to have to help put the remaining floating wicks back in the box. We're taking off on Yisroel Chag, Hanukkah. I thought for sure. In the yeshivas they had learning regular Seder after Zeis Hanukkah, and Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. It's becoming harder and harder to have a Zman. With all of the Yiddishkeit in America, with all of this Yiddishkeit, but the Zman is getting shorter and shorter. By Chaim Kanievsky, by his own son's wedding, they have to, you know, he comes like, he walks into the tish when it's ready time to write, you know, to write up the ksuba. You know, that's a zman of learning. So, what about a person who, when he's in yeshiva, it's gevaldik, and then ben hazmanim, you know, he's off for a couple of days. He's off for a couple of days. Where's he off to? It's like, he's no shaykhis to kedusha during those days that he's off from yeshiva. He's no shaykhis. He wouldn't pick up a sefer. It's ben hazmanim. What does that mean, Ben Azmanim? You live in Torah or you're not living in Torah? Ben Azmanim, it's a good thing. A person needs a little time to take it easy, to relax. Ben Azmanim, Bachim, they're going to, if it's already a serious Bacha, you know, he'll show up at some minyan at 9:30. They have, you know, I'm not talking about in the Chassidish neighborhoods where they have Kaseidah, you know, these late things. I'm saying that guys that during the Zman they have to be 7:30 and they have to go there, and 9:30 and just hanging around. And what am I going to do if I can't do it? They're upset and I'm supposed to go here. I'm supposed to take trip. I'm with the guys. Again, I'm not anti fun, but that's part of the Kafakela. our Zaydis and Elder Zaydis, they didn't have a Ben Azmanim. I can lose to you. There was no such thing as a Ben Azmanim. I mean, I don't know where your fathers come from, and if they went to yeshivas, you know, in an earlier time, in an earlier world, there was no like surfing Ben Azmanim, or, you know, not only because they didn't have that, you know, in those places. There was no such thing. Shabbos, they were fahed also. They didn't have Shabbos off either. My father told me that Shabbos was the fahed. It was the scariest day of the week, was Shabbos. Shabbos, the Rav would fahir, the Shiva, the Rav would fahir, the Rav of the city would fahir the Bach. You didn't know when you're going to get called on. And all the Bachim had to come to the shul. And the Rav would sit at a desk, and he would call you up, and you had to say over, you know, in Hungary in those days, in a week, they did 7-8 blot. You know that, with Rashi, Tosis, Mashah. And you had to start saying it over by heart. And if you didn't, it was very bad, my father said. Bizyonis for yourself, bizyonis for your family. You wanted to pack up and leave town if you couldn't do it. There was no Ben Azmanim. There was no such thing. It was godless and Torah. And it was living in Torah every minute of your life. That's how you make it with Moshe Feinstein. You know, you can't make it with Moshe Feinstein in Adventureland, you understand? It's not going to happen in the mall or in Adventureland or bowling with the guys. You don't get Rav Moshe Feinstein like that. Not to say the guys don't. There are guys that need that, and it's a chachma to know how and with who and what. I'm not. But it's a kafakela. It's a kafakela, like this. Me'olam vada olam. From one world to the other world, a person can live that way. So the Rebbe is saying that even the Churei Chemed and Chassidus Yom Galai, that they're not in control of their hearts to be misragesh in their avodas Hashem, to have misragshes Not just when you're in yeshiva and you're surrounded by it, so you're caught up in that feeling. And you have Yisrachis. The question is, what are you going to do when you're not in yeshiva? How do you act when it's ben hazmanin? How do you act when you've left yeshiva and you're in the, you know, you're out in the world someplace working? How do you act? How do you make your brachas? How do you daven? What do you look at? As he says, they could also be in a kafakela. So to begin with, the Rebbe says we have to daven to Hashem before we get started. And Parag Bezi begins, but beforehand we have to daven. We daven to Hashem. She is akenu lirois ulaharois. That the Baruch Hu should help us to see and to show others. That our hisrakshus, our enthusiasm in serving Hashem should be biyadenu. It should be up to us, not moods, not feelings that just come over us, but we should be the balabatim over our feelings. She'oiris ritzayinu she'ritzayin ha'nefesh, that we should be able to be ma'oirer when we want to be ma'oirer the rotzen ha'nefesh. K'may shomah azar ha'kodesh anal, v'shoh she'yalu b'machshavta, that when a person thinks, I want to have his rakshus, he thinks in his brain, I want to have his rakshus, there are ways that he could go about, as we're going to learn, to generate within himself the hisrakshus. Not just to say, I wish, I wanted, if only I could feel that way, then I would be a good Jew. No. But you should be able to be ma'ayra the rotz mamish. U'lisragish b'shor she'edesh etzarech l'isragish. U'muftechani b'Hashem alakei Yisrael ha'meyiris li'baisam. And I trust in Hashem who illuminates the heart. And the Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, always goes before us in a pillar of fire. And he always shines that light to illuminate a path if we want it. Derech Hashem. To go to him, to follow him day and night. If we want to learn, we can learn how to do this. He says that if Hashem will help, the Rebbe says, and I will be successful, Yala b'yadeinu means himself, and I will be successful in giving Jews a means of shaking themselves out of complacency, of waking up their souls, even a little bit of a shock. Zazua means a shock, a little bit of a shock, a little bit of a kvetch. At least to help a person, just the end of, like the feather, you know, that if you make the slightest movement, the feather, just a little bit to shake oneself up. With your b'chira, not just that it happens to you, but to choose to shake yourself up. Then the person will be able to follow in the footsteps of Chassidus. Lo yishor b'matzovo zelavad, and he will no longer remain in his state. Elagam el pizgas ruma, not only by the ikvas Chassidus, by the end of Chassidus, or the beginning of Chassidus, but not only that. Elagam el pizgas ruma yagia, he'll be able to reach the highest heights of Chassidus, of Avodas Hashem. In the way of Chassidus. Well, Heichel Hashem in Kedoshav Elagan Eden Asher Ba'aretz Yagia. He will be able to reach the highest point, which is Gan Eden in this world, while you're alive, Gan Eden in this world. Which the Rebbe knew from his own life. So then, let's begin. Ma Zayis Islavus Visrakshus Nechitzusayin. What exactly is Islavus Nisrakshus? There's a difference. And the urgency of being able to make this distinction and to be able to become Avdei Hashem in this way. Ka'omer. Kfar dibarnu b'cheves ha'talmidim. Which, by the way, while I remember, I want to remind the Olam that if you're able to try very, very hard, since all of you have a shaychus to Rabbi, obviously that's why you're learning the Sfarma from the Pizetzna, if you're able to come on Tzei Shabbos, at least to try to come for a little while and to come on time. At 8 o'clock we're having a kumzas l'kavod, the sefer chavos haTalmidim that we finished here together, and the kavod the Rebbe. So Shlomo Katz, who's so gevaldik, will be with us, and we'll be able to sing, and I'll try to say a little Torah or something, a story. But try, because we have a shaychus, and it's very important. I mean, obviously some of you can't, you have to be somewhere, but if you're able to, try to come. It's a big covet for the Rebbe and for the avodah that we're learning together, that we should be part of that. It's not like a regular, you know, stammer person wants to go to a concert. It's not a concert. It's the covet, the pizetzin, and the svar makadoshim. We should try. If you can be mishtatif, it would be very, very good. So he says that we already spoke about this b'chavis haTalmidim min nechitzas ha'islavus ve'islavus nafshenu b'avodas Hashem. How important it is that we have Hislavus in our Avodas Hashem. Atche b'dor hazeh e'ef shalona lahamtani ma'at she'id l'boch of avrech v'hoi lo'ish. In the old days, we learned in Chavos HaTalmidim, in the beginning, that in the old days, you didn't have to start with Chassidus and all of these things when they were little. You didn't have to start with the Hislavus and the Hisrakshus and Tefillah and Chassidus with the boys, with the young kids. You didn't have to start in the old days. So in the old days, when somebody was already married, he was already mature, married, so then it would begin with that, you know, more in the intense avoid al derech chassidus, when he was already older. But he said, we can't afford to do that anymore. We can't afford that anymore. Every time I read another article, Israel showed me something yesterday. Every time I read another article about how there are kids out there that are getting involved in all kinds of stuff, like drugs and girls, all kinds of crazy things, and there's some professor or some student guidance personality out there who says, well, we have to find something to get these kids turned on to Yiddishkeit. And the Eitzah is not Pnimius HaTorah, but the Eitzah is, you know, the latest Jewish hip-hop, you know, record. Or the Eitzah is some change in the curriculum, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. What's that even say without having to go to the bathroom? Over the decisions that are being made about how to save our kids. But people who are so far removed from the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov and all the Shaychus to Pnimius HaTorah, that's the only way. And I know it sounds very radical. It's the only way. And all these professors and curriculum experts and Board of Jewish Education and Board of this and Board of that and meetings and invited conferences and children at risk and girls at risk and boys at risk and more meetings and more conferences and more weekend seminars, weiter. I never met a Jewish kid in my life that if you can't get him to concentrate, I mean, sometimes you can't just pin him down. You know, you got to lasso him in, you got to reel him in. You know, he's out there. If you get him down, and you're able to bring him in, and you give him good, Ashtikl Kedushas Levi, he's on his way. I know it sounds very simplistic. 100% it works. Not 10%, 100%. But so you have people that they're wonderful Jews, delicious Jews, that they have ropes, they lasso the guys in, they reel them in, and they say, now, we're going to have a change in the curriculum. What? Yeah, now, Chleis, you know, some new idea about how to make, you know, this more meaningful to you. And the kids are not stupid. The kids are saying, why? It's so meaningful to you. So meaningful to you. Okay, so you're beyond the drugs. You're too old for that stuff, and the girls, and you're married, you have a family. And if the kids would say it, they would say, "You wish you could do what I'm doing. You wish." Big professor of education with your new curriculum that we're going to save Yiddishkeit by marching in another parade or something. That's how we're going to save Yiddishkeit. Professor, if you wish you could do what I'm doing. You can't. But I'm having a good time. So how are we going to make Yiddishkeit You know, everybody's sitting around wondering, all the professors of education, of Jewish education, wondering how we're going to make Yiddishkeit more exciting. So we're going to have, like, juggling in the classroom. We need more class trips to the Holocaust Museum. You know, v'chulu v'chulu. That's how we're going to make it more exciting. So we have Baruch Hashem that the Baruch Hashem sent in the Neshama of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh into the world. I'm not afraid to say any of these things. Certainly not to my chaverim. I mean, I'd be careful about how to word these things to the outside. But Yivah Kadosh Mishmai Kanoch is that the Baruch Hashem sent the Holy One from the holiest Neshama into our lives, the Neshama of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, to be Ma'ir us. Even the ikvus of the Mashiach, even at the end of time, that a person's able to have, even a person who has all kinds of hisrakshus for the lowest things, can have hisrakshus for Hashem's Baruch Mamish in a minute. And of course, once you get him going, there's no question he could see it. And then the curriculum is good for him too, and all these other things can kick in. That's fine. But how do you get a person who is filled with a hisrakshus for filth to have a hisrakshus for holiness? It's only the Baal Shem Tov. Nowadays, it's only the Baal Shem Tov. There are some people who are very, very, very strong in learning in Gemara, that they can have a tremendous espilus from a blood Gemara, and that'll protect them and be a shmir for them. While they're in yeshiva, it'll be a very big shmir, and if it continues beyond, they could have a shmir like that. It could help protect them. But for the average... for the average, you know, yosel, for the average guy, it doesn't work. For the average guy that doesn't have such a hispilus from the blood gemara, that doesn't have such a hispilus for making the two psukim, you know, work out, like that, you know, that's the biggest thing in my life, is that pasuk aleph and beis are not fighting with each other, which is good. I do that. I love that. That's beautiful. That Hashem's Torah is beautiful. But there are guys that just don't get turned on by that. You know, that. You know, and the Rebbe says, yes, if you're not happy, Pasuk Aleph and Beis work out. He says, I don't care. That doesn't do it for me. You don't see how beautiful Taisus answers up the, you know, this kasha, and you don't see how Rebbe Kivega's kasha is triumphant, and Rebbe Chaim Biska said this? No. It's interesting. And I agree that the Torah is a very, very, the user rabbis are really smart. But that's not going to get the kid from his girlfriend or from the drugs or from the party on a Saturday night. It's not going to get it from the party. Some guys, there are guys that it works like that. They're unbelievably driven in learning. There are guys like that. But Ruba, they're not like that. Guys are not like that. They're just not like that. I mean, they'll make believe for a while. But when push comes to shove, and they're back in that motel someplace in Cincinnati, or yeshiva has ended, or it's been as well, they're just not into that in that way. And then, there's no instructions for Kiddush. So they don't have any spilus from the fact that the pasuk worked out, or you said some kind of a clever pshetel. That doesn't do it for them. Even though they're asking that it's very interesting and they're very smart people, but it doesn't excite me. What can I tell you, Rabbi? It doesn't excite me. There are other things in the world that excite me. This doesn't excite me. So the Baruch Shalom sent the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov at the end of time for Jews like that. I mean, it works for everybody. You know. Which the Zedichov and other Kamar and other Tzaddikim said that there wouldn't be, this is, if you think I'm saying things that are radical or not, that Tzaddikim, the Kedosh Elyon, said that there wouldn't be a person in the world that would believe in God if not for the Baal Shem Tov. So of course, millions of people would laugh at that. They would laugh at that. A person would say, I never in my life opened up one Chassidus Sefer. And the Zedichov said, the only reason that you put on tefillin is because of the Baal Shem Tov. I believe in that. I believe in that the same way that I believe in Torah Nisimei. There's no shy, there's no suffix in my mind. There wouldn't be a Jew in the world who could believe in the Baruch Shem Tov, not for the Baal Shem Tov. Not a Jew in the world. But that his structures, not his service, that came from the presence of his neshama in this world. Since we have to begin, he says, Rak tzrichim lahaschel gam. Gam ben na'arim. We learned in Chavos HaTalmidim that we can't wait till the guys already are older. We can't wait, like in the old days, we're able to do that. because there was more of his spiralis from the learning, and there was more of his structures from the davening, from the learning, from the mitzvahs as they were growing up. And we didn't want to introduce a more exalted level of learning when kids are young. So it could be a problem. You know, obviously you have to be careful. But we already learned in the Chavos HaTalmidim that we can't take liberty anymore to wait so long when it comes to chassidus. We have to begin even from an early age. However, in my sefer Chavos HaTalmidim, I really was speaking to the younger ones. This sefer was written, of course, for bachrim, for younger boys. L'chein kitzarnu, therefore, I was makatzer. I said things in a sort of a brief. Things were much more bekitzer. And therefore, the main thrust of Chavos HaTalmidim was avoid the pshuta. Was a very simple way of serving Hashem. Shebahastaras anefesh ubiyaveshus efshalis gabra la yetzahar val tavais of a gufonius, where I explain that when the soul of a Jew is hidden from him, and when all of his Yiddishkeit is with dryness and emptiness, then it's not possible for him to be misgabra and his yetzahar and his taivis. That's what I spoke about mostly. We learned in Chavos HaTalmidim, Sha'ish Nasa Gavoyim Mipshav, that a person has to be higher than his Aveyers. You have to be a higher person. You have to be a greater person. That Aveyers don't come after you anymore because you're above them. That's what the Chavos HaTalmidim was focusing on. To make yourself into a bigger person. So that when something comes after you, a taiva or something, an Aveyer, it looks silly, looks stupid. The same way, a mature person, if a little kid comes over to you and says, you know, you're ugly. Like, you know, a little four-year-old comes over and says, hey, you know, you're really ugly. So this guy, like, has to go into therapy for 2 weeks. Says, you know, there are people like that. So you tell him, what's the matter with you? So somebody told me, who told you? Your uncle over there. Your uncle? Your uncle's 3 years old. He says, yeah, but, you know. I feel bad, and when I was a kid, my father also told me that, and now he's telling me that, and you understand? There are people who like that. There are people like that. They can come to shul, and if someone looks at them the wrong way, then that's it. I have to daven mechidus the next 7 years. I can't come to the shul anymore because someone didn't come welcome me and invite me for kiddush. I get these conversations all the time. I felt unwelcome. Nobody invited me for kiddush. What are you, a baby? So they're what? Nobody invites. Younger blusen. This is for babies. I understand everybody should try to be friendly in the midst of a big mitzvah, and we have to have, you know, we have to make it into Eish Kodesh Jewish center. I wish we didn't have to. The truth is, I wish we could just daven and learn and not worry about all these things. But I know that nowadays you have to do it because why? Because we're all babies. This is babies. It's all baby stuff. But okay, what are you gonna do? That's what we're holding. All of us are holding that place. So you have to make all these things and, you know, whatever. You can't just learn and daven and do all different things. So. And of course, then when you do it, you should do it in a nice way. And it's a mitzvah. I'm not talking about the mitzvah of always being nice to a Jew. That's the chayis of a person to always be mekabel people to serve upon the office. It's a mitzvah to always be nice to other Jews and to be welcoming. But how do you explain when you have an adult, a grown up, that'll say, I can't come because I wasn't welcomed. Oh, we didn't put out the red carpet. We didn't have the gabbaim coming like dum 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 bum 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 shishi, you know, and inviting you for kiddush, and you're here. Look who's here. Look who came. Oh, hashivas. Come on, grow up. You come to shul to daven. If you tell me you can't daven here because it's noisy, you're right. You say you can't daven here because you know the mechitza is not a good mechitza. Then don't. Then you're right. You can't daven if there's no good, the machine's not good. You can't daven if there's talking. But if you're telling me I can't daven here because I didn't have people coming over to invite me for kiddush, then grow up, you're a baby. You're a baby. That doesn't take the responsibility away from the people to invite you. That's something else, because Jews should do that. Especially you see somebody that comes that wasn't there before, a Jew has no chayis to be friendly and to. That's benam l'chaveir, it has nothing to do with shul. A Jew has no chayis to be nice to another Jew. Always. But I wasn't welcomed. And where I used to live, where I davened, where I used to live, when I came, I had 6 invitations the first Shabbos. That's why I like to daven. It's a baby. But a person has to be gavoya. And Chavis HaTalmidim was, he says, the study of Chavis HaTalmidim was that a person has to be a big person. So when the Aveira comes after you, it's like that guy that, when your uncle calls you ugly, see, that you take that seriously? That's silly. Someone doesn't invite you to get it. Somebody looked at you the wrong way in shul. So now you can't come to shul? That's silly. Same thing when it comes to Aveiras. A yid has to be a big person so that when a taiva comes after him, it's like Yaakov comes after him and says, that a taiva looks so silly. That a taiva for something physical is so silly. It's such an Irish guy. That's what it means. You don't get into the argument. That's what the Rebbe was saying in Chavis HaTalmidim. You don't get into an argument with a 3-year-old. You ever find yourself doing it in the house if you have little kids? Then you know you better stop talking. If you find that you're arguing with some little kid in the house, then you're as dumb as he is. I never in my life had an argument with my father. Ever had an argument with my father. There's no such thing. And when I was little, with my mother, I would get into these things, and I'd try. With my father, there was no such thing. It was just a look. And then my father would just stop talking. He would say something, and I would ask him why, and he would say, because I told you to. And then if I would say why again, there was nothing to talk about. He would just look at me and walk away. And I did what he told me to. And I still do. And he still gives me the look sometimes. And that's it. There's nothing to talk about. So, you don't get into arguments with a kid. When it says, Ashrei Misha Gavar Mipshav, when a Jew is lifted up to a Madrake, you don't get into an argument with the Yetzer Sahara. You don't get into an argument with Tivus. You're higher than it. You're bigger than it. That was the side of the education that he was trying to help us with in Chavis HaTalmidim. How to become bigger people, not to have arguments with the Tivus and Yetzer Sahara. But the Rebbe says, but now we're ready to move on to the next phase, which we'll continue next week in the Mishnah.